Romans chapter 13, verse 11, we'll start. If you're physically able, let's stand. Romans 13, verse 11. Knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now, listen folks, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now I want to tell you something. I got to read some more here, but this is the living Word of God that I'm reading to you. Do you know that? This is the living Word of God. It's not a dead book. This is alive and well. Jesus said He's the Word. This is Christ. This is the words of Jesus Christ Himself. As we read this, this is God making Himself available to us, making Himself manifest through His Word to us tonight. This is the living Word. I said all that to say, this is up to date. This is up to date. He said, well, that Apostle Paul wrote that about 2,000 years ago. Yeah, but I'm reading it to you right now as it represents Jesus Christ. And it applies to us presently. So, this is very much up to date. Knowing the time. Folks, we are knowing the time. Can you look around and see the time that we're in? Knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us, not talking to the world, not talking to the drunk on the bar stool, He's talking to the church. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, oh, cast off the works of darkness. What? The church? Yes. The church must cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. He's talking to the church. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness. Not in chambering and wantonness. Not in strife and envy. No, no. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, none of those things are in Him. And if you're in Him, none of those things are in you. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Bless it now. Bless our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And help us to put legs on what You have given us, Lord, that we can carry this gospel to our neighbor, to our friends, to those around the world, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty. Ain't that a movie? Cartoon? Comic book? Walt Disney or something? Sleeping Beauty. Is that the one with the little dwarf, with the little fellas? Ah, wrong one. They're all Sleeping Beauties. Sleeping Beauty. She bite the apple or something? What'd she do? She done what? Boy, it don't take much to get in trouble, does it? She pricked her finger on a something and got in trouble. Was it poisonous or something? Somebody evil probably behind doing that to her. All right. Sleeping Beauty. Well, I'm going to skip all that business. You can figure that out later. Here's the thing. We are the bride of Christ. We make up, should I say, the bride of Christ. That new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And we that will be in that will make up the bride of Christ. And Jesus, He is the He's the one that we're looking for. He's the one that we're waiting on. He's the guy that's like the 10 virgins. You know, they're waiting on that call of the bridegroom to go out. And there was 5 wise and 5 foolish. We can take lessons from that. We've got to be careful. We are the bride of Christ. We're making that up. We're a part of that. And in doing so, we're waiting on Christ to come, to sound the trumpet, or for us to go the way everybody else has prior to this, and that's the way of the grave when time comes to do that. None of us like the idea of facing death, but when you face it with Christ, it's a whole other situation. We can face it with Him. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear eternity. We don't have to fear what is out there beyond the unknown. It's not the unknown. We know a lot about what takes place after the grave because the living Word of God has told us. Amen. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, to judgment, we're going to be able to, we now can choose, Brother Mike, whether we spend eternity with Christ or we rebel against Him and spend eternity in hell. That's not a choice that anybody else can make for me but me. That's my decision. I make that choice. You cannot attack me and take away my right to the crown of life, nor can you bind me up and put me in hell. You don't have the power to do that. The president doesn't have the power to do that. None of the dictators of the world has the power to do that. They can take my life, but they cannot damn my soul to hell. Amen. The Bible makes it clear. Jesus said, don't fear men that can only destroy your body, but fear Him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. That's who we got to be concerned about, is the Lord God Almighty, our judge, the one that sits there on the throne even now, the creator of our soul. It is Him that we're trying to prepare ourselves for. And today, the church, as beautiful as it has been, as great as it has been in days gone by, we've seen great revivals. We read about times when revivals have broke out in different parts of the world and swept communities, cities, even nations have come under the power of the gospel revivals that have taken place in the past. And I know that God's able to give us a revival today. May not be worldwide. Probably won't. Wished it was, but probably won't. But we know one thing. It can certainly be local. It could be our church. It could be your home. It could just be you and your children. It could be just you. You can have revival. What was it? Was it Dave, King David that talked about give us a little revival in our wilderness? Isn't that where we're at right now? We're in this wilderness. We're in the wilderness of this world trying to get by. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. This is not our home. We're just passing through. Our problem is we keep trying to settle down here and God say no. You've not made it home yet. The children of Israel kept doing that, didn't they? In the wilderness. Every little bit, they'd hit a spot. Here's a nice river. Some good looking trees. Let's stay here. All of a sudden, no. Here's the trumpet sounding. Moses getting the word from God. The cloud's moving. We got to go. If we're going to be in the blessings of God, if we're going to be where He meets the needs and brings the provision. See what happens. When they stayed with the cloud, their clothes fit them. Their shoes grew with them. Yeah, food was provided. Sickness and disease was dealt with. Those people were healthy. They were walking with the Lord following the cloud, and He met every need in their life. When they ran into armies that wanted to destroy them, all they had to do was lean on the Lord, trust in Him, stay where the cloud's at. God would take care of them in every situation. Hey, it's still that way today. That if we will follow the Spirit of the Lord and we will be in His will, regardless of what goes on in the world, we will still be taken care of. I'm not saying that you'll always have air conditioning. I'm not saying that every day you'll have a steak dinner and potatoes. I don't know about all that business, but I know one thing. God knows how to take care of His people. Amen. He knows how to take care of His people. And let me tell you this. He's not going to beat the snot out of His bride before He picks her up. He ain't going to do that. He's not going to take that bride and wallow her down in the mud and roll her around, let the devil abuse her and mistreat her and kick her down and everything else. And then Him come along and pick her up all muddy and take her. No, He said that bride's going to be spotless. She's going to have on that wedding garment. She's going to be spotless. She's going to be pure. She's wrinkle free. Why? She's His bride. He loves her. He's perfect. He demands perfection out of her. How can we do that? Got to stick with Him. Just stick with Him. Hang with Him through thick and thin, ups and downs, and all the struggles that comes along. And if we'll be faithful to Him, He will be faithful to us in every situation. Nothing that we face will take us away from Him as long as we stay true to Him and we want to be there. Amen. Sleeping beauty. You know, the church has become dormant, asleep in this hour. You may not be that way. Our church, in a lot of ways, may not be that way, but in some ways it is. There's churches around us. You know, we're not here to try to compare our church to the church uptown or the church on the rock or Church of God or Assemblies of God. God didn't call us here to compare ourselves to another church. We pray for them folk. We love them. Amen. But He's here to deal with us about our condition, how we come into this body of Christ and how we're to operate here at the Berea Evangelistic Church. What is it that God wants out of us? What does He want out of you in particular? Does He have a plan for your life? Does He have direction for you to go? Has God forgotten forgotten us? Has he forgotten you? Has his spirit left us? Is Ichabod wrote over the door and we just don't see it? No, it's not. God's spirit is here, folks. I know that it is. Amen. I know other pastors around the country. They're struggling with the same issues. They feel the onslaught of hell. The devil knows his time is short. He's not just sitting back, abiding his time, waiting on eternity and destruction in hell forever. He's not just sitting back and saying, well, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. Might as well just let the church go. No, he hates us with a hatred like we never have understood in our lives. We've never had hatred like he has. He has such a hatred. He knows he's going to go to hell forever. And yet he is willing to work right up to the last final moment of time to drag you down with him. He's a deceiver. He hates you. His whole plan is to destroy you, your soul in hell. He wants you to be there and burn with him forever and ever. But that's not God's plan. God didn't choose his bride to be a sleeping beauty. He chose us to be alive and awake. When we look at that church in the book of Acts, have you ever just read that? Read there in Acts chapter 1 and 2. Watching what's happening. Then see them there in chapter 3 as they come out of that upper room. What's going on? How the Lord's working him. It's amazing. I want to tell you, there's nothing boring. You got a lot of people today say, oh, it's boring. Boring to serve the Lord. Boring life. Boring. Ain't nothing boring about serving God. Look at those people. They're coming out of that upper room. They're facing persecution. But they've been endued with power. They're walking down the street. They're healing the sick. They're raising the dead. They're getting beat. But God's opening the jail cell while the guards are standing out there. God's the same. And some of them on the outside, the jail's still sealed up. The next morning, they're coming down there to open it up. They break the seal. There ain't nobody in there. Where's them boys at? They're over there in your synagogue preaching the gospel. God knows how to take care of his people. There's nothing boring about serving God. This is the most exciting life you could ever have. Amen. Have it all the way. They had a slogan here some time back about this cars, one of these car companies. They say, life is a journey. Enjoy the ride. Amen. Well, that was cool. But I want to tell you, that don't apply to nobody but a Christian. That's right. The only one that really applies to is a born-again believer. Life is a journey. We journey this life with Jesus Christ. We can enjoy the ride. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And yes, I will have tribulation, but I can be of good cheer. He's overcome it all. I can enjoy through all of it. Paul and Silas beaten, hung on the side of those walls with chains in a deep night. They're bruised, beat, whipped, in bad condition physically. But what did they do? They didn't cry. They didn't say, woe is me. The people don't like us anymore. I think I'll go somewhere else to church. No, no. What they did, they sung songs at midnight. That's when you know you can praise God. That's when you know you're a worshiper. When in the middle of it all, you can worship God anyhow. Hallelujah. It's not possible to do that in the natural. It's not possible to do that. Those men done that because they were full of God. They weren't asleep in beauty. Amen. They were awake. They were a part of the church that was alive and well. And when Jesus comes back to rapture the church, he will find the church that he raptures alive and well. You understand me now? When he comes back, he's still coming after a church that is mimicking that New Testament church in the book of Acts. That's who he's looking for. There's 1,000 churches. There's 1,000 churches in Kentucky. Nothing will change in that church. They'll show up after the rapture and sing their songs. The preacher will preach. They'll shout, run, speak in tongues. Some of them will. Worship. No, just praise God. Woo! Lord, not even in the house. Rapture taking place. Church gone. How could that be possible? We've learned how to have church. We've learned how to have church. Who do you think Jesus was talking to whenever he talked to that church at Laodicea? I know. You know, we've read that scripture. We've talked about it several times. It applies to us right now. That verse, that church of Laodicea, is very relevant to this moment in time. So we need to read it. We need to understand. That's to us. They're rich. They're increased with goods. They have need of nothing. And that's what they said about themselves. Jesus is outside. He ain't even in the house. He's outside knocking on a window or a door. He's saying, if you let me in, I'll come in. Nobody's moving to get the door open for him. Why? They don't need him. They ain't missed him one time. He's been gone. They're doing everything without him. I want to tell you, that church is going to hell that's involved in that kind of activity. Jesus cursed the tree that had no fruit. Folks, we are the people of the hour that are to be alive and well, not asleep in beauty. Sleeping beauty, that's that Laodicean church. It's going to die. He's going to spew it out of his mouth. But the church that is alive, we've got to rise up in this moment, from the young to the older. We've got to get up and be a part of what God's doing right now. What's that song? We sung it sometimes. I don't have a cold, dead religion. Something like that. It's a good one. It's a foot stomper. We don't serve a dead God. We don't have a cold, dead religion. Amen. That's right, Brother Brian. Thank God that He's alive. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He ain't dead. He's not in the tomb. He's risen. He's risen. He's risen. And He wants His church to arise for this moment in time and be a part of what He's doing. It's not optional. You either do it or you're left behind. The children of Israel, no matter how, there was one place there they stopped. It's like the palm trees, something about the palms. It's all these palm trees there. It's like an oasis out in the desert. They love that. They didn't want to leave that. I wouldn't have wanted to have left that. Not after you've wandered for 40 years out in that desert, in the heat, in the sand, dry, parched, everything. You know, you wouldn't want to leave those beautiful palm trees. It's like taking a vacation to Florida or something. You know, you wouldn't want to leave that. You know, we get a trip down there every once in a while. Make it down. I don't want to leave and come. I want to come back to you. But I'd bring all that with me if I could, or take you down there. I like that atmosphere. The children of Israel dealt with that. But it didn't matter. Whenever God got ready to move, either they were going to live and go with Him or die under the palm trees. The very thing that looks beautiful today will be your tombstone tomorrow if the Lord departs from it. You cannot let Him leave without you. Hear me. We cannot let Him leave without us. He's moving. He never stops. He's moving. His Spirit is going. Brother Mix preached so great about that. Those wheels in the wheel, in the middle of the wheel. That's the Spirit of God. There's no rest day and night. He's moving constantly. All those cherubims, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. A constant moving of the Spirit. He's letting us know His Spirit never rests and never sleeps and never stops and never slumbers. He's always ready, willing, and able to move His church through the worst of times. This is no different. Our world is teetering on the worst time it's ever had in the history of the world. I know we've had the Hitlers and the Stalins, all these other wicked men, but that ain't nothing compared to what's around the corner. Oh, but the church has got the ability to walk with Christ through it until the rapture takes place through every situation. We don't have to face that mess. We can run with Jesus. Amen. We can run with Him. He'll help us. It's not a time for us to be the sleeping beauty of the hour. Oh, look at that. Look at that facility. Look at that choir. Look at that preacher. Woo, man, he dresses good. And he sounds so much better than our screaming, holler, spitting preacher, Jeff. Wow. 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 They're dead. Jesus is outside. He ain't even in there. Oh, folks, it's a time for us to wake up. Wake up. Awake out of sleep. That's what the apostle said. Knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Oh, this is our hour. This is our time, folks. I know we've said that over and over. I want to get that to you somehow. I've been asking God. I've been talking to Him. I've just been saying, Lord, what can I say? Give me something that I can take to the church and share with them that'll help them right now. That'll breathe life into them. That'll help them to love you again and to want to worship freely and willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to get close to you. Lord, help me. Help me somehow. I want to know that I have the right words to speak to you. I don't have no time to waste. I don't know when the Lord's going to come. I don't know if some of you may not even come back to the next service. We're in a time when it seems like so many are falling away, getting sidetracked with that other things caught up in the moment of time with whatever's going on around them. Empty seats tonight. Some working, but many not working. Just have no desire to be here. I don't know if I'll get another chance to talk to you. I want to have a word from God. Well, I want to tell you what His Word says tonight. Oh, knowing the time that now it is high time. Awake out of sleep. Awake out of sleep. Paul didn't say that, whispering it really nicely and eloquently. That is a plea of desperation to men and women of God. Awake. Awake out of sleep. Ephesians 5:14, Paul talking here, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He's not talking to the man on the bar stool. He's talking to the church that has spiritually died. That's what he said. Right there he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. That means that some, even in the church, can walk as fools walk. Oh, this is not the day to be caught up with fool's gold. Brother Darrell told me that he bought some property. Got a little piece of property out here in one of these western states. Up in the mountains. And had some friends out there, and they told him, here's a little piece of property you can get. Got it worth the money, you know. And bought that little piece of property. Got out there. Got to walking around. Found some caves on his property. Got to looking around. Gold. Found gold all over the place. He got so excited. My God, I've struck it rich. Got gold everywhere. Dug it out. Took it into the market. They said it's fool's gold. Oh, God don't have fool's gold in His church. He's got the real thing. But today, so much of the church world is running after something shiny that has nothing to do with God. Amen. Just because it shines and it glitters, folks, doesn't make it God. The devil's a trickster. He's a trickster. Amen. He'll deceive you if you let Him. God will never deceive you. He always tells the truth. He always leads you in the right direction, doesn't He? Yeah. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Oh, Brother Jeff, I just want to know the will of God for my life. I can tell you what it is. You come to the right service. Ain't that good? That good? Aren't you glad you're here? I'm going to tell you the will of God for your life. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. You read your Bible. You read that living Word. And you seek the face of God every day, and on that day, He'll guide every step you take. That's what the Bible said. It said the footsteps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Huh? You're a good man, Brother Dan. God will order your steps. You're a good man, Brother Ed. God will order your steps. You hear me? You're a good man, Brother Andrew. God will order your steps. You hear me? Ladies and gentlemen, God will order. Mike, hear me now. If you get up in the morning and say, God, today I'm yours. You take me, Lord. Guide me like you want to guide me. You teach me what you want. If you just read one verse in the morning, you say, Lord, I'm going to read that verse. And you just bring it alive to me. Teach me what you want me to know. You know what? God will begin to talk to you. And every day, Mike, He'll guide those steps of yours. You say, well, I ain't perfect. I messed up. Be quick to repent. When you mess up, be quick. The Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You mess up, be fast. You get smart with that boss. Get right. Get over. Boss, I'm sorry. Man, I let my mouth run with me. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean. Forgive me, please. You're smart off to that wife and she don't hit you with that pan. If you can survive it, get to her. Tell her, I'm sorry, honey. Didn't mean to smart off to you. Just let my tongue get a loose. Didn't pray long enough. I had to tell a fellow that a while ago. Yeah. He called me up, calling my hand on something. It's not that big a deal, but it was, you know, anyway. And I said, apparently I didn't pray long enough. Forgive me, brother. That's what I told him. I didn't get all puffed up. I said, bless God, I was right and you was wrong. I said, forgive me, brother. I didn't pray long enough this morning. And he was quick to forgive me. He's a brother in the Lord. It's all right. We work that out. That's what Christians do. They work through things. They don't hold grudges and carry on and act foolish. They get through it. Amen. Let's get through some things and move on. God's got things for us to do. Your steps are ordered, Brother Josh. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. God don't play games. don't play games. But we do. A lot of times we ain't no different than them soldiers that nailed Jesus to the cross. We sit down there at the foot of Jesus while His blood is spilling. And they rolled the dice and gambled and laughed. Never realizing how much of the church is like that today. Not even realizing what's about to take place. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. What'd He say about it? He said, while Noah built the ark, said they laughed, they ate, and they played. They didn't take none of it serious and didn't believe it. Didn't believe what Noah had to say. Until, the Bible said, until this is what Jesus said, until the flood came and took them all away. They believed then, didn't they? But it's too late. They believed then, but it was too late. They still believe, but it's too late. It's not too late for us. It's not too late for us. Did you hear me, Brother Brian? It's not too late. We've got the opportunity. And momentarily, we have the time. We have some freedom. Not a lot, but we've got some. Amen. I had a man tell me the other day. He said, we're close to a communistic country. I said, go ahead and explain. He said, I tell you why. He said, there's one thing you can do without asking permission. I said, what is it? He said, you walk down that street there and you can come back. He said, you tell me the rest of it you can do that you don't report somehow. You buy that food, you pay tax. You get that check, it rolls in. They tell you how to spend it. You're going to build an outhouse on your property? They won't let you. EPA says it ain't clean. They're down there, you got to pay them $5 over here, $5, $10, $100 over there, $50 to build a porch on the back of your house. You can't do nothing. We ain't got freedom. Our freedom's a lot of it's gone, folks. But right now, we can go down that street and not ask permission. You know what we need to do then? Go down that street. Tell them about Jesus. Hey man, got to go down that street and tell them about Jesus. I'm glad Brother James, Brother George been out here knocking on doors. Brother Tim, some of you have. A lot of us haven't. A lot of us haven't. Brother David Lamb, he told me, he said, Brother, he said, our church is available. We'll come and help. Knock on doors in your town and pass out tracts. Now, ain't that something? Ain't that a good thing? That a neighboring church would be willing to come over and help us knock on doors and pass out tracts? That's nice. I'd be embarrassed for that to happen. I'd be embarrassed for that to happen. I mean, I appreciate it. I'm happy that they're willing. And I'm not saying I'm beyond it. But I'd be embarrassed that we can't show up on a Saturday and knock on doors. That we have to have a church 12, 15 miles away come over here and do our job for us. You thought I'd come back from Spain nicer, didn't you? Oh, listen, folks. This is serious. This is serious. You hear me now? This is really serious. It's life or death. Oh, my. To whom much has been given, much is required. Folks, they've been a lot late on the doorsteps of this church. We're not a foolish church. We're not a dead church, and we ain't a church full of death or darkness. The gospel of light shines here. We are responsible to keep that light shining, to keep that fire burning. Daily, them priests, daily they carried out ashes, and daily they brought in wood, and daily they sacrificed. That's us. Daily. There's no escape. You don't get a break from this. This is a daily thing we do every day. And it's not a hardship. We act like it's a hardship to serve God. Jesus said, He ain't a liar. He said, take my yoke upon you, for it is easy. My burden is light. What we think is hard is because we have forgotten what it was like when we was in bondage. Do you need to go back to bondage to remember it? I don't want to do that. Then you take the chance on being 7 times worse than you was before. I don't want to go back in sin to remember what a bondage that it was. I remember weeping, crying, being miserable. I remember the night I got on the altar and finally gave up and gave in and got willing to get rid of whatever it was holding me back. And I felt free as a bird, light as a feather, free as a bird, whatever. I felt good. Hallelujah. I felt deliverance. I felt like God had pulled that load off of my back. I love that. I don't want to go back to the world. I know it's worse behind me. It's worse back there. The only thing I deal with here is the persecution, but Jesus gives me strength over it all. Amen. Amen. This is my time. This is our time. This is our hour. This is our moment to make a difference. Let us not fail the Lord. Let us not fail that lost world out there that is perishing without a cause. We do, Brother Mick. We owe them this gospel. We are a debtor to the Greek, to the barbarian, to the Scythian. That's what Paul said. We are a debtor to them. Amen. Let's stand. Sleeping Beauty. Oh my. Is that me tonight? Is that you tonight? Amen. Are we Sleeping Beauties? No. I refuse to be a Sleeping Beauty. I've slept before. I've allowed it to overtake me. I've become drunk on the cares of this world, caught up in the worries and fears of it all until it nearly smothered me out and choked me down to nothing. But I'm glad for deliverance tonight. And I'm glad that in my hour of despair, I was able to call on the Lord and He heard my prayer. He heard my cry. Oh, David said, I cried unto the Lord and He heard me. He said He reached down and He lifted me up out of a horrible pit and put my feet on a rock. He said He'd give me a new song to sing. He said the world will see it and be scared. Why? They're afraid of the power of God because it can do what nobody else can do. He can do, the Lord can do in a moment's time what drugs cannot do, what chains cannot do, what jail cells cannot do, what bombs cannot do. Jesus is the one that is able to bring freedom and life. But you've got to want it. You've got to want it. You've got to want it for yourself. It's not selfish to want this. No, no. It's not selfish. To say, I gotta have a breakthrough for me tonight. Amen. Then get it. Get in that altar. Kneel there. And say, God, I ain't a leaving until something happens. I've got to have help. I've been there. Sometimes I've not gotten it. I've prayed until I just wouldn't pray no more. Get up. But you know what? I said, I'm going to pray again. I'm going to keep praying. Because one thing I know for sure, folks, God is faithful. He's faithful. He's always been faithful. Surely goodness and mercy has followed me through dark days, tough times, lonely times when I felt misunderstood and nobody really knew. When I didn't think I had the strength to go on, I look back now, and He brought me through. I don't know how He did it, and I wouldn't want to go back and do it again. But I'm here tonight because of the grace of God and because of His faithfulness and His loving mercy, that if I'll ask, He'll come to me quickly. He'll help me. He'll help you. He cares about you tonight. He loves you. He doesn't want you to be a Sleeping Beauty. He wants you to be awake. To be aware. For your eyes to be open. To be sober. In this very moment of time. The Bible said that He'd make us to be these men with understanding of the times. Women with understanding of the times. The altars are open. But you got to come. You got to ask. You've got to make yourself available. The altars are open. Let's pray.